Kim Morgan joins us from time to time for a variety of topics here. She's a Catholic wife and mom, licensed independent clinical social worker. Kim from St. Louis, Missouri, today checking in. How are things after a very, very rough night?
Yeah, things were really rough here with four of our police officers shot. And there's lots of damage. There's lots of people on edge. And I think people are pretty much emotionally at their limit right now, Gwen.
And that from a variety of reasons, the kind of, you know, sadly not infrequent racial tensions in the U.S. Boiling over right now. And, you know, also added to the mix, being all of us pent up for 2 to 3 months probably doesn't help either, does it?
I think that probably has exacerbated a lot of our emotions and a lot of our tensions. We were getting ready to be pretty excited to be out and about with summer coming, and I think people had this sense of hope. And when this tragedy happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota, it sparked something in many, many people that has been an underlying issue in our communities, and now it's in the forefront, and we're going to have to figure out a way to work with that. And it's not just going to happen overnight. In fact, this is going to be something that our kids will also take up as they grow up in our communities and have to make sure that they make the world a better place.
Well, it was a week ago last night that this all started with George Floyd in Minneapolis, a town that you used to live in and that I live near. And I was able to kind of see some of the areas that were most affected just a few days ago. And one of the areas where there was great peace was actually at the site of the death of George Floyd that had been turned into an active memorial with a few hundred people gathered around very peacefully, a wide variety of folks there, a circle of flowers taking up the entire intersection, beautiful sidewalk chalk art there and the like, and a lot of people around, at least on a Sunday afternoon, sharing what they had with others in terms of food and water and the donations of food and water and basic toiletries and diapers and all of that were just overflowing at some of the collection centers for that, plus the cleanup. And so, you know, may St. Louis be blessed by that kind of thing, you know, in the mornings to come after some pretty rough nights. And there were several rough nights in Minneapolis as well. All of this on TV. I know over the weekend when it was really really hot and heavy in Minneapolis, you couldn't avoid that. And so kids are going to end up seeing a little bit of that. But as parents, it's our duty to guard those young hearts and minds. What are some good strategies for doing that, Kim?
Well, I think one of the things we need to do is make sure we are telling them the truth, but make sure that that truth is only as much as they need to know. Maybe they ask a question, you answer it, and then they move on and go do something else. Then that was enough. If they continue the dialogue and ask more questions or want to know what you think about it, then your child is more ready to learn about some of this and hear some of it. But they don't really need to see the graphic images on the television, on the computer screens, by whatever media source they're using and you have in your home. It's really not helpful for small children because they don't have the emotional bandwidth. And frankly, Glenn, I'm not sure any of us do right now, but they don't really aren't developed that way physically to be able to process a lot of that. And again, you go back to a lot of research with the highly violent and graphic video games. It's kind of that same concept. Kids don't know what to do with it, and so it gets kind of misappropriated. They act out. They have dreams of fear and terror and disruption. They have unusual sense of feeling unsafe, even if they are in a very safe environment. So we have to be sure we protect our kids and give them assurance that we are taking care of them, that we are looking out for them, and that can be only so much as we really can. I mean, there are many families who lost their homes in Minneapolis and that are seeking help from their community, from the churches, from their neighbors to try to rebuild. That can be absolutely traumatizing for a young person. So being able to assure them of what you can assure them that is truthful and kind and nurturing is the best thing we can do for our kids. And the other piece of that, too, is then what do we do to take action to make our world better? And how do we allow our children to watch us do that?
Talking with Kim Morgan about how to talk to kids about the riots and more on Morning Air this morning here on Relevant Radio. We have a very friendly neighborhood. The adults congregate and talk a lot, and the kids play with one another and run around. But, you know, they're interested to see what the adults are up to, too. And there was a young lady who just happened to turn 8 yesterday, but over the weekend was very scared at one point in terms of hearing a lot about what was going on. And I got to hear some of those reassuring conversations directed at her, saying that her parents and her parents' friends, the neighbors, as well as her older brother, would be there to protect her. And so, like you said, with assurance, reassuring kids that, you know, if it's not, you know, directly in their neighborhood, to maybe explain, if possible, this is a ways away. And also, just, you know, in general, that security that we need to have as we grow up and even as adults, that we will be protected even in the midst of bad stuff.
I'm always amazed at how kids feel that sense of powerlessness and that desire to help. And when you put those two things together in a child's life and you say, you know, I know you're scared. How about we do something for those kids that actually are down there that had to go through this? How about we put together a care box? How about we get some food together? Now, all this, you know, it sounds lovely. We can pat ourselves on the back. And it is good to do these things. And people do actually need this right now. On site, they need this kind of help. Is it the long-term solution? Well, of course not. There's a lot more that has to happen with the grown-ups around us to have that happen. But for kids, when they can put an action with the negative emotions that they're having, it empowers them. It gives them strength, and they know they're helping someone else. And the other little thing we teach them is maybe we're teaching them not to encourage any racism, that everyone is made in the image and likeness of God, and these children are hurting just like you're hurting, and wouldn't you feel comfort if another child gave you something to play with or to care for, a sandwich to have if you didn't have food? And so allowing people to share the position of being in each other's shoes often gives us great amounts of empathy as a young person, and I think that's important in our communities in general, much less in this time of great chaos, because we have a hard time getting away from our entitled mentalities that we have. We have a lot of things just at our fingertips, and I think coronavirus actually taught us a little bit about what we didn't need to have, and maybe it helped us be a little bit more empathetic to our brothers and sisters all across our communities. So perhaps coronavirus started it. I don't know how this is going to end up with such violence going on, how we can calm that down. But I do know that the kids don't need to watch a lot of the destruction and the violence on media. Like maybe we want to have it on in the house, but maybe that's not the best for our young people.
You know, we talk about how kids, little kids, they love to be helpers, actually, you know, and if you let's help out the other poor kids, you know, or kids that lost their home or need some food, they're all about that. As far as the older kids that are old enough to understand a little bit, my wife works for a news organization as well, and Sunday we were taking pictures of some of the damage and destruction, and we were outside a Walgreens that looked like it had had a bomb that landed on it, but it was burned out by fire. But we pulled up behind a basic, very family-friendly minivan, and out pops a mom with a couple of junior high-age girls, maybe just a little bit older than that, and basically getting a look at the destruction. And it didn't look like one of those, oh, let's take a selfie in front of some disaster business, but to kind of teach them, it seemed like she was kind of teaching them this is what can happen. And so in terms of older kids, maybe kind of a social lesson to be had too.
Absolutely, and I think we can talk a lot about civics and the laws that we have and the way we use our community money, our funding, our tax dollars to build houses, to provide proper daycare, to provide groceries and accessibility to goods within a community. All these things are really important, and that's where change can begin, when our kids have knowledge, when we teach them and help them understand how new the racial issue is for the U.S., how new it is to create environments and communities that really are equal for all people of any color, of any race, of any nationality, of any religion, to really, that, I mean, to be Catholic, we need to be accepting of everyone and love them the way Christ loved every single person he created. And when you put Catholicism combined with that spirit of community interactions, it's going to change the world. But somehow a lot of us lost sight of our faith and that we were all created in God's image.